From KUER News in Salt Lake City, I'm Diane Maggiapinto. As Utah reopens parts of its economy, some people fear there could be a spike in coronavirus cases across the state. KUER's Sonia Hudson reports state officials are asking Utahns to keep following social distancing guidelines.
Governor Herbert called on Utahns to continue to do the right thing like they have been doing. He said that they're going to monitor the data very closely, especially in potential hotspot areas. And if we do see a resurgence, the state will go back to that red, to that high risk model of social distancing that we've been in. And Governor Herbert also mentioned that he does expect requests to come in from some counties throughout the state to move to an even lower risk, to the kind of yellow zone. But there haven't been any requests yet, and they'll kind of take that on a case-by-case basis when and if they come in.
That's KUER's Sonia Hudson. As Utah enters the orange moderate risk phase of its pandemic response, the state has released guidelines for business owners and residents to follow. Non-essential businesses like gyms and hair salons can reopen. At gyms, though, workers must ask members a series of questions before they come in, like recent travel, any symptoms, and if someone in their home is sick. For barbershops and hair salons, not only do they have to shift to appointment only, but both the customer and employee must wear face coverings. The guidelines also urge establishments to take the temperatures of their workers before their shift starts. Restaurants have gotten the green light to open today. KUER's Emily Means reports that resuming operations isn't as simple as just opening the doors.
Dean Perot owns Cucina in Salt Lake City, and although the restaurant has been doing takeout for more than a month, it's not yet resuming dine-in service. Perot says opening now is too reckless for staff and customers.
I'm a lot more scared to open my restaurant than I was to close it.
For restaurants that do decide to open, employees have to take their temperature, tables need to be 6 feet apart, and groups are limited to 6 people. So, for Bethany Teeples, who does plan to offer dine-in service at her restaurant, Waffled, a lot of changes have to happen. But she says people have encouraged them to get back to business.
Everyone's ready to get back to life. You know, they're cooped up in the house and they're willing to wear a mask and then be able to go out.
Teeples says she knows there's a risk of the state reversing course if there's a spike in cases. But if the restaurant has to close again, she's not sure it will survive. Emily Means, KUER News.
April was the driest April on record in Salt Lake City, according to the National Weather Service. The capital city got a hair more than a quarter of an inch of rain last month, breaking the record of just under a half an inch set in 1934 and tied in 1981. Scientists face a big problem when it comes to gathering large amounts of information. It's expensive, and funding is not always available. KUER's Grace Osusky reports on how researchers are using community collaborations to help with their work.
It's called citizen science. Volunteers of all ages do things like take pictures of plants and animals and post them to crowdsourcing apps or report to researchers on how much rain and snow they've gotten in their backyard. John Meyer is a climatologist at Utah State University and a coordinator with the Community Collaborative Rain, Hail, and Snow Network. He says their community of citizen scientists provide, in his words, bang for the buck.
A lot of the official networks require huge costs that somebody has to bear, the taxpayer, for the most part.
Ellen Erickson of the Natural History Museum of Utah says there are thousands of Utahns who contribute to the iNaturalist app, and they're making important discoveries.
Because of some observations by citizen scientists at the Fife Wetland Preserve, there were some species of threatened dragonflies that were identified.
Salt Lake City is now working to protect the insects by pulling weeds in the park along the Jordan River instead of using pesticides. Erickson says that citizen scientists are acting as eyes and ears for researchers and making a difference. Grace Osusky, KUER News.
And I'm Diane Maggiapinto, KUER News.